Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
As I told you last week, throughout this month of December, I am kind of purposed to share with you the roots, if you will, of some of the great hymns of Christmas. So this morning, I've picked out another one. It may be familiar to some of you, maybe not familiar to others. It's Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. Coming home from our house Christmas Eve. No? Okay, well, watch the screens. I think we've got the one lined up here that...
Thank you.
This hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, is one of the oldest of the Christmas songs that was given to the church. Actually, it is at least from the 12th century and perhaps before that. The five verses of this Christmas song were sung in chant, or what was called simple song, that the church would sing back and forth across the sanctuary in the early times, in medieval times. It was then taken by a man by the name of, John Neal. John Neal took this and added the chorus to it and brought it, if you will, on into the church later in the 1700s. And so then the hymn became part of the church. Last week, we talked about O Come, O Ye Faithful as a call to worship. This hymn is actually a petition or a prayer. The first stanza says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. That's interesting because, again, this was written for the church, not for Israel. But what the authors, if you will, and those who penned these words, were taking hold of the captivity of Israel and bringing, if you will, all of God's people into that captivity of being in a lost and dying and hurting world. So the application is made using the illustration, if you will, from the lives of the Israeli people, but the application then is to the church. So once again, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. So even as Israel, God's chosen people, were longing for the coming of the Messiah, we, His church, those who belong to Him, are longing for His second coming and His appearing. So as this song is sung, it's actually a call to the Lord for those who know Him for His return. Amen? The reason why we're doing this, I felt prompted to do this, but I also want to bring some of these alive. You know, when you hear them on the radio and things, and you know, a song like this, it's talking about Israel, it's easy to kind of set it aside as though it does not apply to us. But in fact, it was written for the church, it was written for us in expectation and anticipation of the second coming of Jesus. I'm looking forward to His coming. In this first verse, He is called and addressed as Emmanuel. But it's actually a little deeper and broader than that, because He is seen as God with us, but as our deliverer. I'm pleased to tell you this morning that the Word of God, and time will not allow me to totally unpackage this from the Scripture because it's massive. As God, as our deliverer, He sees the struggle and the struggles that we go through in our lives. You realize that? You know, maybe you felt alone. Maybe you felt like you were in the exile. You were in the struggle by yourself. If you know God, you're never alone. Jesus said it. I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I'm not sure that there is a statement that He could give us that would be more comforting than that, if we actually take hold of it. That no matter what we're going through, whether life, whether sickness, whether struggles financially or physically, whatever the struggle may be, and even in the shadows of death, just like David, I will not fear, for thou art with me. What an incredible comfort it is to know that we have the God of the universe, the creator of all things, who has committed to be with us. Maybe you would agree with me that it's kind of sad that we don't acknowledge his presence. Quite often when we start going through some stuff, how many know what I'm talking about, going through some stuff? Yeah? You know, when we're going through some stuff, we fail to acknowledge that he is with us. And you know who the loser is on that? Us. He never changes. Our acknowledgement of him or our lack of acknowledgement of him does not change who he is or his presence. The only thing that changes is when we reckon with it. When I stop long enough, when you stop long enough to realize that God is with me. He's in this circumstance. Whatever your circumstance may be, he's there. You say, well, Pastor, why doesn't he just take me out of it? Because that's not real life, for one thing. And the second part is, there are things that we can only learn when we go through some stuff. You say, well, let me stay stupid. Listen, he has plans for us. Plans, according to Jeremiah, to prosper us and to bless us. And part of that blessing is that we can grow in him. And part of growing in him is recognizing that he is God with us, our deliverer in the circumstances of our lives. Let me tell you something. One moment changed between the acknowledging that he is with you and the failure to acknowledge, just one moment in there can make all the difference. When you're going through a circumstance and you're fighting through it all by yourself and you're writhing in it, you're struggling in it, and you stop and you realize Emmanuel has made a commitment to come and to be with me. Whatever I'm going through, he will not leave me. He will not forsake me. He is my deliverer. He's going to bring me through. Oh yes, I want it to be immediate. I don't want to go through it at all. But he has promised to be with me. He even told me, he said, in this world, you're going to have some stuff. Tribulation. Difficulty. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Amen. How many of you know a millionaire? Cool. We need to talk. If that millionaire is close enough to you to where you can call upon them whenever you have a need, you might get a glimpse of what I'm talking about here that says, even though I'm going through this financial struggle, I know there's somebody who is going to be a net under me, someone who can help me in this circumstance. Now, the difference between God and your friend or your loved one is that he gives freely. And he gives abundantly. Amen? Now, this hymn of the church reckons back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. When King Ahaz refused to align himself with Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel called Ephraim to fight against Assyria. So these two kings came to fight against him. And Isaiah came to him with this word from the Lord. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind. And the prophet Isaiah was sent to the king to give him a message from the Lord. This message of deliverance and warning sounds like this. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Can I read that again? Isaiah said this to Ahaz. He was shaken because the enemy was encompassing his town. He couldn't see any way out. There were not enough of them to fight against the enemy. And Isaiah said to him, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. But the promise came to him. In verse 14, actually the Lord said to Ahaz, he said, ask me for a sign that this is going to happen. And Ahaz, thinking he would be all pious, he said, oh, I would not tempt the Lord in asking for a sign. And Isaiah came back to him and said, listen to me. The Lord himself will show you a sign. It goes like this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, what's interesting is it was hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. So how in the world did that apply then back to Ahaz's situation? I'll tell you, since you asked. When God says it's going to be done, it will be done. The fact that God was giving him a word of prophecy that wouldn't take place for 200 years was totally irrelevant because with God, there is no time. When God makes a promise to us and says, I will never leave you or forsake you, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth, He is Emmanuel. He is God with us in the circumstance. You say, well, does that mean He's going to take care of it right now? That means He's going to take care of it. Hey. He said, but I want Him to take care of it right now. He'll take care of it because He is God with us. Now let me read to you once again that first stanza. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Now make the application. He's saying, Lord, you know, we're in a circumstance. We're in a difficulty. We're in a problem here. But we know you. O come, God with us, and ransom us. Apply your blood to this circumstance, your sacrifice, to what I'm going through. And there is an air of trust about it. Amen? You say, well, I hope He doesn't take 200 years to bring it to pass. He'll always be on time. I said, He'll always be on time. He'll always be on time. I'm looking for a few more amens. You see, you know what amen means? So let it be. Okay? So let it be in my life, in my circumstance. See, as I look out across this sanctuary this morning, I know there are lives here. You're going through some stuff. You, your family members, you're going through some stuff. I'm telling you this morning, God is with us. I do give you the advice, once again, that Isaiah gave to Ahaz. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you'll not stand at all. So reach out and take hold of the truth of God's word. Oh yes, sing the hymn to Him. O come, Emmanuel, ransom captive, ransom me with the power of your sacrifice. Get into my circumstance. And He will. Praise His name. You know, some of you this morning could find victory if you let go of the problem and take hold of the answer. There's another verse here in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8. It says, here again the name of Emmanuel is used. He says, sweep on into Israel, swirling over it, passing through it, reach up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. The cry comes forth, O Emmanuel! Then the prophet proclaims, devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand. For Emmanuel. In other words, all of your plans, all of your purposes, all of the things that you can come up with to solve your situation, probably will not be enough. Most likely will fail. But Emmanuel, if you'll give him a chance, he will work it through. Amen? All right, let's scoot on. Verse number 2 sounds like this. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. So in this petition, O come, thou Lord of might. He is hearkening us back to Exodus chapter 19, verse number 16. It goes like this. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like the smoke from a furnace. The mountain trembled violently. The sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke and the voice of God answered him. Whew! Can you imagine what that day was like? God had delivered Israel out of the captivity of Egypt, led them up to the foot of the mountain, and God said, do not let the people encroach upon this mountain. Hold them back, because if they touch the mountain, they will die. And then the Lord came down on the mountain, and thunder and lightning and trumpets blasting louder and louder and louder as God descended down upon the mountain. And he warns Moses, keep the people back, keep the people back, because I am holy. And they'll be destroyed. But he wanted them to see the awesomeness of his might. Why? So that they would know that when he was in camp with them, they had all the might of this world alongside them. Now, you jump over with me to the book of Hebrews. And the Hebrew writer says to us, he says, we have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. He said, but we have been invited in to the presence. Oh my goodness. That same Lord of might, that same awesome power, that same God of glory is the one who has invited us in by the blood of Jesus to come in with our circumstances, with our problems, with our difficulties, and to bring them in and reckon with what he can do in our midst. Too many of us are limiting our situation by the power and the knowledge and the ability that we have. And God wants to come on the scene and be bigger than anything that you and I can do. No. In essence, because we don't call upon him, because we don't invite him into our situation, he's here, he's present, and yet we hold him back. I got this one, God. I got this one. I'm going to work this out. I got this one. Me and the doctors. I got this one. Me and my lawyer. I got this one. You know, me and the best financial advisor that I can. You hang on right there, God. I know that you're present. I really appreciate you being here, but I got this one. I can handle this one with all of my great knowledge and all my experience and all of my wisdom. Boom. We find ourselves falling on our faces. I love this hymn. O come, thou Lord of might. Let me tell you something this morning. There's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord of your weakness, of your inability. Huh? Lord, I can't. I can't handle this. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. Come, O come, thou Lord of might, and free me. You know what's amazing? That even in the midst of your circumstance, you can be set free. Even in the midst of the trial, you can be liberated because you know that God is bigger than your circumstance. Now, you know, here's the funny part of this. Many times we will acknowledge God as the God of the universe. How many believe that God is the creator of all things? Come on, let me see your hands. Yeah. So he is the awesome power that spoke everything into existence. And yet we draw back from him for these little particulars of our lives. The one who scooped together dust and made a man, breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living being. We are reticent. We pull back from allowing him to have access to our situation because we're going to take care of it. Now, how many would agree with me that's dumb? Don't lift your hand. It's pretty dumb. When he has said, I will come, why aren't we singing this hymn? O come, Emmanuel. O come, Lord of might. God, if you get into my situation, then I know my situation's taken care of. Even if it's 10 years from now or 15 years from now or 20 years from now, whenever you choose, but if you're in the center of it, I know that it's taken care of because you are with me. There could be another shout in there, I think one or two. Third verse. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save, give them victory o'er the grave. God with us on David's throne. What does that mean to us? O come, thou rod of Jesse. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His name is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, he is the King. You know, we sing about some of these things, but we need to get it in. He is the King of all things. From the root of Jesse, from the throne of David, there's an assurance there for the people of Israel, but for all of the redeemed, that God and God's plan is being unfolded, and the King of all kings is on the throne. Listen to Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now listen to this. Listen to him with your particular situation involved. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what his ear. But what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decision for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Listen to me this morning. We feel like, and I know, I watch the news like you watch the news, and we think, oh my, oh my. You see the stuff that's going on in the world, you think, oh my. You see things that are going on in our own country, you think, oh my. We look at our leadership and we see their weaknesses. We say, oh my. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He has come from the root of Jesse to be the King over this world. Do you realize that I believe in just a very short amount of time, Jesus is going to sit down on a throne and rule the entire world? Did you know that? Scripture gives us that promise that Jesus is going to sit down on the throne in Jerusalem and he is going to rule the entire world. And you know what's going to happen? The lion will lay down next to the lamb. And a child will play by the hole or the home of a poisonous snake, because the Prince of Peace will rule over the earth. You know why I'm smiling? I know him. I talk to him all the time. Chances are, I will never have an audience with the President of the United States. But I have audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who raises up nations and brings them down. The one who establishes leaders and brings them down. The one who is the King of all the world. Oh, listen, because the world hasn't recognized him yet, don't be fooled by that. The Apostle Paul addresses it. He said, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Listen to me this morning. Maybe you have never acknowledged that Jesus is the King, the Lord, the Master, the Savior of this world. I can tell you this morning. This may be a comfort, it may not be a comfort, but there will be a day when your knee will bow and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As surely as you've been born, you and I have the opportunity to be born again, not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God, so that we become joint heirs with the King of the ages. How cool is that? You understand what this song is about? This song is a song, is a petition before the Lord, but it's also a song of great assurance in who we are. Oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, thou Lord of might. Oh, come, thou rod of Jesse, the one who sits on the throne. You see, you and I can make a choice today that Jesus sits on the throne of our hearts, so that one day when he rules and reigns in this, over this world, you and I will rule and reign with him. Now come on, how cool is that? I mean, that warrants at least a grin, right? Let me see. Amen. Oh, I like this fourth verse. How am I doing on time? We're going to make it. Oh, come, thou day spring. Come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Oh, drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring us light. This God with us is the light of the world. It comes in response to Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, speaking of John the Baptist, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come down to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. What an assurance. The day spring, the light of the world has dawned. You know, that's my prayer over this service this morning, that the sun would rise. Not just the S-U-N. It'll come up today, tomorrow, or as long as the Lord determines. But my prayer is that the S-O-N sun would rise in hearts and lives in this room. You know, I was out in California a week or so ago seeing my grandchildren. And I was up early in the morning, and I watched the sun come up over the mountains. It's a beautiful sight as the sun came up, and then I watched it later go down over the Pacific. It was an interesting day to see it come up in such beauty and such glory. But you know what? I've also seen a wrecked life, a hopeless life, a sorrow-filled life, come and stand at an altar and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. and you came into this world and died for sinners. And I receive you as my Savior. And I've watched the sun rise. I can attest to this, and some of you others can give witness to this as well. I have watched wrinkles disappear. Furrowed brows. Troubled hearts just melt as the sunlight of Jesus rises in their life. Oh, come. Oh, come. Day spring into our lives. Come alive within us. Oh, it's my petition. Come, day spring into this house. Come into the lives that are walking in darkness. Come into the hearts and minds of those who are troubled by sin. And lead us to freedom. The light of the world is desired to come. Amen? Oh my goodness, there's so much more. I could preach this again next Sunday and you wouldn't even know it because there's so much more to this. This book is just filled with this reality of the truth of His desire over our life, church. But let me give you the last one. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home, where all thy saints with thee shall dwell. O come, Emmanuel. I'm pleased to tell you this morning that you can know the one who holds the keys to heaven. Okay. By the way, I love this. No, not this. I'm not the only one with one of those. No, I love this because everybody looks so much skinnier. Tom, there's hope for us, brother. We just need everybody just needs to see us through this camera. That's what it is. See how much skinnier I look? You should just watch me up there. Okay, back to this. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home, where all thy saints with thee shall dwell. O come, Emmanuel. Isaiah 22:22, referring to this authority of the kingship, he said, I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will be a seat of honor for the house of his father. All the glory of his family will hang on him. Now, all of this applied to Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was appointed the steward in place of his father. But the application of this wouldn't be known for 200 years. And that's when Jesus came and was birthed. It refers to Christ's authority. Listen to this from Isaiah 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. How's it going to happen? By the zeal of the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Once Jesus came and took the scepter, once he died upon the cross and rendered Satan helpless, once he rose from the dead to give us the hope of everlasting life, our fate in him was set. If you are in Christ Jesus, your fate, your eternity is set. Because he holds the keys. I know the guy that has the keys to the doors of heaven. Amen. Oh my goodness. I just can't get you excited for nothing. You see, after you sing the verses, then you can sing the chorus. Rejoice. Rejoice. Yeah? Come on. You're there. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O redeemed Israel. Rejoice, rejoice. And that's the call here this morning. Because we know him as Emmanuel, God with us, because we know him as the Lord of might, because we know him as the rod of Jesse, the king of all things, because we know that he holds the keys to heaven. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Me, you. Hallelujah. Stand with me, would you please? Oh my goodness. Folks, do you realize, can you even begin to realize what God wants to do and be in your life? Hello? I thought maybe when I slapped it, it shut up. He wants to be with you. You know, I almost think that maybe we miss it by saying us. And we need to say, God with me. Now, I don't want to do that by myself, because then I'd be kind of selfish, as though I'm the only one who can have God. But if we would do it all together, it would probably be more proper, wouldn't it? Would you say that? God with me. Oh come, God with me. Right now, whatever your, bow your heads with me, whatever your circumstance is in your life, and I know that in this room there is trouble, there's struggle, there's difficulty. But I wonder if you would, just in this moment, let God be with you in that circumstance. He wants to come as the Lord of might. He wants to come as the King of all things. He wants to come as the conqueror and the one who holds the key to your eternity. The only thing he's waiting for is for you to make the call. Oh come, God with me. And he'll change your circumstance.